you, Father, as we open your word this morning. I pray that you'll give fresh revelation, fresh passion into our lives, Father, and just open our hearts to see what you want to say to us this morning, to each individual person. We're wide open, Lord. We're open for your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and encourage us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, going to read Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. So we're going to talk about storms today, the miracles that Jesus did in the midst of the storms, but not just a physical form or a storm in the natural realm, but we're going to relate storms to the storms in our lives. So scripture is full of the lessons that happen in storms. In Genesis chapter 6 to 8, it's a record of the first storm. And what did we sing this morning? We sang about God's mercy. So we do need to know in the midst of the storms that come, God, part of who God is and can never ever change is his mercy. So even in, because the storm in Genesis is a lesson about judgment, about the judgment of sin. But even in the midst of judging sin, God is a merciful, merciful God. And he allows sin to go only so far. Eventually, sin is judged. And like Noah, we find ourselves in deep water. And then there's the story of Jonah and the storm that he got caught in. You remember Jonah got swallowed by the big fish? And because there was a storm, and God used that storm to get Jonah's attention. And oftentimes we'll use storms in our own life to get our attention, to change our viewpoint, get things straightened out in our lives, and get retargeted on where we're supposed to be and what God wants us to do. God will use the storms in our life to do that. And so then there's a storm that Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, and he said this: if you listen to these things and do them, not just hearing them but doing them, then you'll be like a person who built their house on the rock. And when the storms of life come, your house will stand because of the wisdom of what I'm giving to you. But it doesn't work if you just hear. Those who hear but don't do are like those who build on sand. And when the storm comes, the house will collapse, even though it looked just like the other house. And so, again, a lesson in storms that come into our life. And as we build our life on the rock, which is Jesus and the Word of God, then when storms come, we might be blown and buffeted like the other house, but we will not collapse. And so in Matthew chapter 14, it's one of two in the Gospels that talk about storms in the life of Jesus. In one of those accounts, he's on the Sea of Galilee. He's in a boat when the storm comes, and it's a torrential kind of thing. Waves, wind, lots of rain, etc. And you remember that Jesus stilled the storm. He simply said, "Peace, be still." That's the one where he was asleep in the bottom of the boat. The disciples were freaking out, and Jesus just said, "Peace, be still." And so storms are symbolic of life's circumstances. Sometimes a storm brings blessing in the form of the much-needed rain. We don't necessarily enjoy the rain or getting wet, but in the long term, it's a blessing. It's a good thing. And then you remember about Job, how there was hurricanes and tornadoes, and that's another story. The Bible says that a tornado came through and completely destroyed Job's house, where all his children were, and everyone was killed. And so we're told the tornado was created by Satan himself. We talked about last week the activity of Satan and demons, the reality of that. And I don't know if you noticed, but the sound is working fine today. Last week, it was not. And there were a whole bunch of little things that happened. My microphone caught on something and broke, and so I had to use this. And all of these things I see as the enemy just trying to throw confusion, just trying to throw us off track and what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us about. And oftentimes, those things will happen. We just think they're just normal things. And if we just stand and think they're normal, they might not get fixed. They might just frustrate us to the point where we say, why am I doing this? God, maybe I'm off track. Maybe I shouldn't cause us to back up a little bit. Or if you're got a bit of a personality like myself, it's the opposite. It's kind of like sick 'em to a dog. And when the enemy does stuff like this, I just press in all the more. And I think, okay, I'm going to tell more stories on you, Satan, than I've ever thought about telling in this sermon. So take that. And in Greek and Hebrew word, on you, Satan. And so, Brenda, I'd like you to share what you shared with me, because, you know, it's always an encouragement to me when I get your text or your email or whatever and just say, thanks for the message this morning. It was a great blessing to me. And so Brenda shared something that the Lord spoke to her heart last week about. Thank you, Brenda.
Okay. As you know, my brother passed away, and I was talking to my sister-in-law, and she said, I'm really struggling, and a member of our family had offered to come forward and organize a medium to come in and talk to her so she could find out where my brother is and what's going on. She said, what do you think? I said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not good. Just stay away from that. The next Sunday, Pastor Joy talked about demons and how we have to fight them. So I went home that day and I did a study on the blood of Jesus. Then I phoned her and I said, you don't need those mediums, you don't need anything, you need the blood of Jesus, and plead the blood of Jesus over everything in your house, everything. Just, she says, well, I don't know how to do that, but because I did that study, I did. So I told her what to say. I said, just say this and just do this and plead it over yourself, plead it over your child. And she said, okay. So, but it's God's planning. She talked to me the next week. She did the lesson, and then I did my part, and I was prepared.
Amen. Amen. That's so good. Praise the Lord. Amen. So not every tornado or every circumstance that comes into our life is instigated by the enemy. But we need to have discernment, and we need to understand this is how, not through a medium or anything like that, but this is how you understand what God's plan is. And anything contrary to God's plan is either the flesh or the devil. There are no other options. And so as we read the word, as we fellowship with God, he enlightens us and opens our eyes to things, gives us discernment so that we don't just say, oh, well, you know, that's just something that happened. Because oftentimes, we're talking about storms in our life. Right now, I'm not talking about a physical storm right this second. I'm talking about storms that happen in our life that can be instigated, spawned, if you will, created by the enemy, who is Satan, and we need to understand that. So along with the storms that can be a blessing, there are also storms that can be destructive and even satanic in origin. So just talking about storms for your future further study, in Thessalonians 2, 17 and 18, we won't delve into that, in the New Testament after the Gospels, Paul is talking about somewhere that God had told him to go. And you remember he got into the boat and there was a big storm and the boat was shipwrecked, etc., etc. And when Paul is talking about it, he doesn't say, well, we were held up by the weather. He said, Satan hindered me. And so he recognized and understood that storm, which was a physical storm, was instigated by the enemy. Anyway, the enemy did it, and there was a storm in the midst of it. So remember that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness, principalities, powers in high places. And so we need to have that understanding. We will not be the victorious Christian that God has paid the price for us to be if we just go along and don't say, you know, that all of that is for Old Testament. It's not for the New Testament. It's for a different dispensation of time. No, it's not. Paul himself said, Satan hindered me. Jesus cast out demons. And as much as I love to speak and talk about that subject, I will move on. So storms are like problems in our lives. They come in different shapes and different sizes. They are unpredictable in their timing. Secondly, we might see them coming, but things usually don't happen just the way they're supposed to happen or that we think they're going to happen. They show up in different ways than any of us could have seen. And so in Matthew 14, the winds are contrary. The end of verse 24 represents a storm like this. But it's not a destructive storm. It's not a storm that's going to bring ruin. It's just wind. And I say that gently, because wind, as we know, can absolutely destroy things. But this storm is not something that's going to ruin them. And I want to say to you today, the storm that you're going through or might be going through is not a storm that's going to ruin you. It's not going to bring you to destruction. It's not going to bring you down. It's a storm. It's some wind that's happening and going on, but it's not a storm that is going to ruin you. And everyone said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And so it's not the same as the other storm. Remember the other storm? The disciples were in the boat, and they were just beside themselves with fear. And they said, Master, we're perishing. You're sleeping in the bottom of the boat, and here we are. We're fighting this storm, and we're about to die. We are about to perish. And Jesus gets up, and he stills the storm. But that's not the ferocity of this type of storm. And so this story in Matthew 14 is also in Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6. And so the great thing about getting a report from more than one writer, from Mark, Luke, or John, is that we get different viewpoints. Everybody sees things differently. We were bowling yesterday for the Hamilton Dream Center, and our team was, I think, Rebecca, there needs to be a prize for the lowest team score. Think there needs to be. I thought we would win that. I'd fight Tammy for that. But we were the encouraging team, because we clapped anyway. As long as it didn't go in the gutter, we clapped for it. So if it took out one or none, and as long as it didn't go in the gutter, we were good with that. And so different viewpoints. Other teams were frustrated and maybe a little bit upset because they wanted to win that prize and that bowler didn't do it right, you know. So we all see things. We know that, don't we? When you look around this room, we will all see different things. When a situation happens in someone's life, we get a different perspective on it as we talk to this person or we talk to that person. And so these writers are basically saying the same thing, but just a little different angle on it. The common denominator in these three stories in Matthew, John, and Mark were that the winds were contrary. And that is a Greek word that means, it's the word for opposite. So the winds were blowing opposite against them. And yes, there were waves, but there was no rain. It was just the winds. And the winds were opposed or opposite to them. And that's the kind of thing in our life that causes it to get stuck. We have a goal. We have something that we're going for. And sometimes it seems like everything comes against it. Circumstances come against it. People come against the plan that we believe God has for our life. Our resources or our lack of resources come against the things that we feel that God has spoken to our lives. So opposing winds gives us the idea of antagonism and hostility. Sometimes the opposition we face is actually human. Sometimes in people's marriages, whether one is saved or one is and the other one is not saved, there can be opposition, great opposition. I don't want you to go to church on Sunday morning. I want you here with me. This is our only day off together. And so there can be in a unequally yoked together partnership, whether it's marriage or whether it's in business, which neither should be so, there can be a lot of human opposition. And so remember, as we look at the story in Matthew 14, that these guys in this boat are familiar. They are seasoned sailors. They are familiar with the sea that they've often been on. Winds are rising, which apparently, according to people that have been to Israel and people that know the geographical layout of the land, apparently winds, storms like this can rise up in just a couple of minutes. They can be calm 1 minute and ferocious in the next minute. And so the direction that the disciples were going in this boat, these winds were opposed to them. They were stopping the way that they wanted to go. We read in Scripture that it was the evening, and or at least late in the day. We know that it was the fourth watch, Scripture tells us, of the night, and they were still out there battling this storm. And from in John chapter 6, it tells us they'd only gone about 3 or 4 miles. The time was between 3 and 6 in the morning. So that means that they had been fighting these contrary winds for 8 hours, rowing, and that tells us that the headwinds were very, very strong. And you and I oftentimes face things that are very, very strong in our lives. They push against the direction that we want to go and that we know that God has called us to go in our lives. They push against those things. For us as a church, some of the things that push against us are lack of finances. There are things that we want to do, but there's lack of finances. There's lack of people to carry out those things. Sometimes there's even lack of commitment on people's parts to carry out those things. These are all storms that can come and can push against us. And in your life, in the direction that God has you going, doesn't matter whether you think I'm not in ministry, I just have an ordinary job. That's okay. That's the direction that God has called you to go. And oftentimes storms can come that push us away from that direction. Sometimes it's just as simple as someone discouraging us, not encouraging us. And so we need to know a couple of things about storms. First of all, we're on slide 4, they weary us. Storms drain our strength. And secondly, the goal that you hope to arrive at, you are blocked. You can't seem to get there. So the miracle, remember, I want us to know this because we've talked about some incredibly specific miracles that Jesus had done. We're saying yes to the miraculous. The miracles healing that Jesus spits in somebody's eyes and immediately he's healed. That he lays hands on somebody who's dead and immediately he rises. Awesome, incredible miracles. But there are a different flavor, if you will, humor me in saying that, of the miraculous. Not all miracles happen instantly. We learned that about the Greek words of healing. They don't all happen instantly. Not all the stuff that we're going through, be it a storm or just regular life, not all of those things, the end that we're trying to get to, happens instantly. And so that's what we need to learn about this miracle that I'm talking about this morning, that we need to remember when we're stuck in a storm. 3 or 4 things. First of all, slide 5, decide to accept the fact that God's hand is in it. I'm here to settle my soul. The ship is not going to sink. God is wanting to do something in me to change the way I think, to change what I'm thinking about the storm. God is wanting to do something in me. God's hand is in the storm. Say amen or something. Because you need to know that. Because if you think I'm just stuck here, this is the devil, even if it is the enemy, God is still in the midst of that and going to do something about it. Amen. Verse 22 is an interesting verse. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. He made them. It's a very, very strong word in the original language. Why Jesus standing on the shore with the crowds of people there. Why did he have to make the disciples get into the boat? Well, maybe he made them get into the boat because they knew he was tired, exhausted, need to have his spirit replenished. And they're like, Jesus, we're not going without you. You're either coming with us or we're not going. Or maybe the crowd was people that were healed were so insistent on making him king right then and there. And they wanted to save him from maybe even violence because they'd gone through that before. And so Jesus had to force them to get into the boat. It means to force the situation or compel them to get into the boat. And so Jesus is not ignorant of what's going to happen and what's going to take place out there on the Sea of Galilee. It's no surprise to him that the winds came up, but there was a plan. And in the midst of the plan, we have to understand this, Jesus makes them get into the boat. Guys, I know there's going to be a storm coming. You're going to be exhausted, tired, and weary, but you need to get into the boat. You need to face that storm and watch what I'm going to do in you, to you, through you. Amen. So there are circumstances that you feel like and that I feel like I did not have a choice in this matter. This is happening in my life, to my ministry, to my family, and I don't have a choice. I can't do anything about it. And so we're in a contrary situation that we didn't have anything to do with how we got there. And when oftentimes we feel like saying, you know, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. I'm just going to go through this because I know this is the path I'm on and I have to do. And so we face situations, not situations that are compromising or anything like that, but we plow through those situations. Or like someone said to me this week, Pastor Joy, suck it up, buttercup. Just get on with it. And I did. And so there are things like that. There are situations that come that we go through that we have no way of knowing what's happening, and really we don't have any control of that situation. But we need to see Jesus making them get into the boat. They had no control over the storm that was happening or that was about to happen. They had no control over that, but they maybe thought, well, God's got this. Jesus has got this because he made us get into this boat, and he wouldn't have made us do this if it wasn't going to turn out for our good. And so remember that God hasn't designed the problem. That's not who God is. But he has assigned our involvement in the situation. So God hasn't designed the problem, but he has assigned our involvement in the situation. And there's a lot of difference between blaming God. God, here I am in the midst of this storm. I could have gone up to that mountain and prayed with you, and yet you stuck me. You made me get into this boat. You made me face this storm. God, you made me face this situation. And there's a difference between blaming God and seeing God being involved and wanting us to be involved in the healing of that situation or the decreasing of the storm. And so Jesus didn't go up to the hill and cause the storm. He went up to pray. And then the winds came, and the Lord has put us in circumstances knowing he knows what we're going to face. Listen, your storm didn't take God by surprise. And that's good news. Your storm, what you're going through, your circumstance, your lack, the people around you causing part of the storm, it doesn't take God by surprise. He knows your beginning. He knows your ending. He knows what you're going to go through in the midst of it. Hallelujah, because that's who our awesome, awesome God is. And in the midst of that, he's given us the strength. Yes, he has. He's given you and me the grace to go through these storms. He's given us the strength. Remember, Grace, when I'm weakest, that's when I'm strongest. You sang that this morning. In my weakness, when I can't row through this storm any longer, God gives us the tools, the ability, the spiritual ability, and the grace. He did not design the problem, but he has assigned you to it. He's wanting to settle some things in our heart, and he knows that the ship is not going to sink. So there's another thing involved here when you look at the events that happened first and the events that happened after. So first, before they head across the sea and before Jesus goes up to pray, there is that feeding of the 5,000 people. And so you remember, y'all remember, bread was multiplied, crackers and wafers were multiplied. And what they handed out just kept going and going and going. And so we have, wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome to be one of the disciples carrying around the last three crackers? And I hand it to you, and I look, and there's three more. And I hand it to you, and there's six more. And there's this multiplication that goes on. Please don't miss the excitement that the disciples must have felt in the midst of it. It was an incredible miracle. One they thought would never happen. Where are we going to buy bread? I don't know. Jesus, just send them all home. Just send them all home because there's not enough bread. And so they were a participant in the miraculous thing, the feeding of 5,000 that Jesus did. And then the other side, when they get through the storm, they see crowds coming to Jesus. Scripture says everybody that touched Jesus was healed. I mean, that's like, that's awesome. I mean, I see this crippled person going up, touching the hem of his garment, just touching, not even Jesus, just touching his robe, and all of a sudden they straighten up and they can walk. That's awesome and that's amazing. But the disciples basically had nothing to do with it. And so would have been easy for the disciples, this is why I believe the storm happened, to think, oh, I don't have to do anything. I just have to call on the name of Jesus. I don't have to work for my food, for my money, for anything. I'll just call on the name of Jesus. You remember one time there was even a coin in the mouth of a fish that he got out of the lake. And so they might have the thoughts that, I don't have to do anything. And on the other side of it, well, here we go again. Crowds being healed. I don't have to do anything. But here in the midst of this storm, right smack dab in the middle of those amazing, miraculous things, Jesus now is requiring the disciples to have some faith. He's requiring the disciples to go through the storm. He's requiring of them to row for 8 arrows, hours. Can I say to you, just keep rowing. In the midst of your storm, in the midst of what you're going through, don't put the oars down and say, well, you know, there's a miracle coming and Jesus is going to do it. In the midst of your finances, there's a miracle coming, but you might have to work extra for it. Oh, you might have to give extra for it so that in a couple of weeks we can still have heat and hydro and all that kind of stuff. We might have to do something for the miraculous to happen. And so in the midst of these two miraculous events that happened, sandwiched in the midst of them, Jesus watches as the disciples go through this storm. I believe he's showing them that life with him isn't just a magic wand that we can wave, that miracles oftentimes we struggle through to get to the bottom of that miracle, to get to the end result of what we think God wants us to do. And so they were there. Their ship was not going to sink, but something needed to be settled in their hearts. They're going to make discoveries, a fresh discovery of who Jesus is in the midst of it. They're going to realize that life, sometimes the miraculous takes me cooperating with God in the midst of it. And so we decide to accept the fact that God's hand is in the storm. I'm here to settle my soul. My ship is not going to sink. Secondly, you may be stressed by the struggle, but you're not outside of God's scope of vision or interest. God created the universe. planets that we can't even see. They discover them regularly. New planets that have never been seen with the eye before. God flung them into space. God, who created this earth, created planets. God is interested in you. You're not outside of what God can see. You're not outside of God's interest. God is interested in you and interested in the storm that you might be going through. And Jesus had gone up to the mountain to pray. Maybe not so much to pray for the disciples, but he went up to replenish and kind of refurbish himself in the presence of the Lord. And you and I need to take note of that. Because oftentimes, storms happen in our life. Things happen in our life. We get muddled. We just get discouraged. We just get kind of this, the blues happen. You know, do you ever just get the blues and you don't know why? Well, I know my own life. I wake up and think, I haven't had my devotions for 3 days. I've prayed and said, hello, Jesus, basically, as I'm just being honest, rushing out the door. And I realize there's a void that happens within me that I can't seem to shake this off. And so you and I need to realize that there are times when we need to be alone and go to a place, a quiet place, and spend time with the Father. And so Jesus is on this mountain. And on that mountain, on that day, because it was just wind, there were no clouds or pelting down rain, that Jesus, from that mountain, he could see the whole of the lake. And it's scripture says, when Mark describes it, he uses an interesting phrase. He says, he saw them straining. And so here we see Jesus sensitive to the struggle that they were going through. And seeing that struggle, watching them go through this, he goes to them, straining. There are at least four ways to use this word, straining. One was used to describe a torturous struggle people go through when they are involved in a court or judicial situation. When involved in a legal situation, there are huge, huge pressures, enormous strains on us. I have been to court for a period of time, and it was a huge strain on me. I was 15 going on 16, and it was just this whole court situation that happened. And my mom, who I hated at the time, was there to support me in that. I wouldn't walk with her. I didn't make eye contact with her. She just sat at the back of the courtroom day after day after day. It was a huge strain on my mother, and it brought about a wearying effect. And so that's one way that that word is used. Another way the word is used is distress of severe affliction, maybe a medical disease, and you would like to get over the disease, but you can't seem to shake it. It just doesn't seem to go away. There can be mental struggles that go on with things like that. If you just, pain is, can be so wearing, can't it? When you're in constant pain, sometimes if the medication helps the pain, the medication does something else that isn't very nice. I remember my mom used to have what they thought was epileptic seizures, although they never really found out that that's what it was in all the tests that she went through. And so they gave her epilepsy medication. And after a little while, she just stopped taking it because she said the medication is worse than thinking I might have an epileptic fit. And so she stopped taking it. But severe afflictions that we go through, struggles that we go through. The third way the word is used is an upsetting or worrisome, that surrounding pressures of circumstances can bring about on us. And so it's the same word used in St. Peter's epistles when he talks about Lot. He was upset. It says, Lot was upset, his righteous soul, living there in Sodom. And so it was describing someone who was living in an environment that was opposite to what Lot wanted for his children. Everything about it was filled with perversity. Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a tough place to live and a tough place to raise his family. So Lot was actually stressed by it. And he was upset and worried by the surrounding circumstances. So, you know what, like we're here now, we come on Sundays, sometimes other days, and it's nice to be together, and it's nice to worship the Lord, and it's nice to praise him this morning, and to have fellowship, and to share blessings, and to hear the word. All those things are great, but tomorrow you'll have to go to work or school. You may be confronted with people that don't believe in your morals, don't believe in your, the perverse language that people just seem to automatically use. It is just, sometimes I just want to scream and plug my ears. And I'm going to tell you, wherever they're swearing, it just seems to, I can find it anywhere. I can go in a store and nobody else will see swear words written on buttons and call and cufflinks and things like that. I find them. They just pop right out to me because it's something that just bugs me so very, very much. I can't stand profanity in any form. And so you might be going to that place. It's upsetting and worrisome circumstance that you would be in. That's one of the words for this straining that has happened. And so the last one is the torment that comes from a satanic assault. The Bible says that Satan has come down with great wrath because he knows his time is short. Revelation 12. You've got to know that Satan is your worst enemy. Not the job, not your husband, wife, siblings. No, Satan is your worst enemy. And he has commissioned the forces of hell in any way to break your will, to weary you, to obstruct the pathway of your future with adversity. Just surely as the winds came up upon Job, there are winds that the adversary conjures up, and these are works of hell. And then these four things: judicial situation, physical difficulty, pressure of surrounding circumstances, or the pressures of demonic assault are very real. They create a blockage for you and I getting through. In the way of a storm, they create a blockage. I'm supposed to be here by now, but I'm not because there's been some blockage. But we need to know that in the midst of this, we are not out of God's vision. We are not out of God's interest. He sees and he cares. He sees and he cares. And so when Jesus looks out over the lake and sees the disciples, he comes to them. And there is a message that whenever we struggle through, whatever we go through, Jesus sees. He knows what we're going through. So God's hand is in the storm. Number two, you may be stressed by the struggle, but you're not outside of God's scope or vision. And sometimes, number three, it's darkest when Jesus shows up. And so this storm takes place between 3 and 6. At 6 in the morning, in the darkest hours. What do they say? It's always darkest just before dawn. And so these guys had been giving everything they had for 8 hours. They had covered so little territory. They should be way further ahead than they are. And this must have been very tiresome to them physically, emotionally, in every way. And they think that they have problems fighting the storm when all of a sudden, okay, so they're in the midst of this storm and they're fighting the waves and the winds that are contrary to them. And all of a sudden, coming across the lake, walking on the water, is Jesus. But they don't see it as Jesus at first. They see it as a ghost. And now they are absolutely terrified. The Lord has come to help them. And the Lord comes to help us in our storms and in the uncertainty of what happens. He comes. He shows up. And when he arrives, it changes everything. When Jesus arrives in the midst of our storm. And he will arrive. I love this thing here. I love what he says next. He says to them, "Oh, you of little faith." And I love that. Because he doesn't say, "You guys don't have any faith. You know what you just saw back there? And all the other things you've seen up to this point, you've watched me do, you have no faith at all." He doesn't say that. He says, "Oh, you of little faith." So maybe that's the purpose of this particular storm. Maybe Jesus is trying to get us, get them and us to grow to the next level. Not to just sit back and say, que sera, sera, what will be, but to say, okay, how is my faith? I've been through this same thing last year, 2 weeks ago, 5 years ago. What am I going to do? What about this attitude that keeps coming on me? Thinking, what about this depression, this woe is me, these blues that keep coming on me? What am I just going to sit back and say, well, here it is again, page number 72 in my journal. I'm feeling blue and discouraged again, and I don't know why. Maybe that's not you. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. I don't know, but there are things, there are attitudes that come into our life that in the midst of it, we feel like we're going through a storm. I'm preaching to me this morning. And I'm preaching to you this morning. We feel like we're going through a storm and that there's never going to be an end because it's dark right now. It's just really dark right now. And here comes the answer. But I don't see it as an answer. I don't see my $2,400 Union Gas bill the answer. I see, oh, bless God, we're in the same place again. Here we go again. But Jesus says, what are you going to do about that now this time? What did you learn last time? Has your faith grown since the last time? Has it? Or are we still just going to keep going through the same storm with the same lousy attitudes, lack of faith, not no faith, just little faith attitudes? Or are we going to say, in this storm, my faith is going to grow. In the midst of this, my faith is going to grow. And when I see the answer coming, which is Jesus, I am not going to be afraid. He says to them, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So today, when you and I are stuck in a storm, the presence of the Lord is the miraculous solution. Amen. It doesn't mean he prepared the problem, but it means he can prepare you to deal with that problem. So you might be stressed by the struggle, but you're not outside the scope of God's vision or interest. When he comes, he meets you. You're going to find that while it's dark and then it got darker, he shows up. It says when he came into the boat, immediately they were on the other side. So there does come an end. You might have to, quotation, row for 8 hours, or maybe a longer time than that. You may have to just keep rowing, just keep going through this. But the joy of the Lord can be your strength. The grace of God can be your strength. There does come an end, and when it comes, it will come quickly. But it's getting there that tries our hearts and tries our soul. So, this message is for you today. I'm going to look at every one of you in the eye. This message is for you today. This is not just something on the list of the next miracles. This is for you today. If you're not going through a storm today, you will. So you tuck these things away in your brain, in your journal, more than that, in your spirit man. And let us realize that when we go through a storm, that he is not distant. That when we go through a storm, he's not forgotten us. He's there right in the midst of it. And he's going to show up, and he's going to show up in time. It's not going to be too late if we allow him. It's not going to be too late. Struggles are real. I don't know of anyone going through a court case, but if you have to, God will give you the grace to do that. He will give you the strength to go through it. Physical problems are very, very real. Even sometimes more real as we get older and our bodies seem to break down. There just seems to be a tough to. What I don't like now is whenever I get with someone who's my age or a little older, we just kind of show each other our scars. Oh yeah, I had that operation too. oh yeah, well this bone hurts and me too. And it's like, ah, I don't want to be there yet. Maybe when I'm 90, it's going to be good with that. But I want to rehearse the good things that God has done. Because he's amazing and awesome. And even although things don't happen miraculously, instantly, there's still a miracle in the making. The book that our Bible club read talked about the mess in the middle of the miracle. Maybe we need to go home and read that chapter over again. Because there can be circumstances that are opposing us, antagonistic and even sometimes very hostile. So whether you get into it by a failure on your part, hear me, whether you got there by a failure on your part or it was just thrown in your face and it feels like all hell is coming against you, you're not going under. Will you hold on to that? Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm bringing you through. I'm going to show you that there is power in my presence. And so we say, Lord, I take this message for me. Lord, target it with regard to whatever storm I seem to be stuck in now. Maybe it can even be a storm of apathy. You know, I just can't be bothered. Sometimes that happens. And sometimes God allows a storm to come in our life to shake us out of those things. Let's stand together and let's just get ready to worship the Lord one more time before we go home. I want to say as we sing this song, if you feel like you're in the midst of a storm and you just need some prayer, then just come on forward. If you feel like you just want to step out over there at the side, you're thinking, I'm in the midst of a storm, or God, I want this to be applied to my heart, but I don't really need prayer for it. Just step out over at the side. If you come to the front here, I will be happy to pray with you. But Father, we thank you for loving us in the midst of the storm. Thank you, Father, for God, we're made for the storms. You, our boat is made for the storm. You created us to go through hard, difficult circumstances in our life. You created us for that, Father. And so we want to lean and depend on you. Father, the storms that are here, the storms that are coming, we recognize that you have said, get into the boat and get to the other side. We recognize that, Father. And so as we climb into that boat and we are confronted with a storm, we determine in ourselves not to question you, not to doubt you, but to see you in the midst of the storm. We see you, Father God, in the midst of our struggle. We see that you're looking at us, that you're participating in the struggle that happens. And Father, even when it seems like things are getting really, really dark and where are you? God, we see you in the midst of that and we will not be afraid of your presence coming to us and getting us to the other side. I pray for the congregation today, Father. Storms that have happened in their lives, storms that will happen, I declare that we are prepared for those storms. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen.